This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
God's clearly been speaking this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. And sometimes, you know, we have seasons in our life where we're not such a good friend. He's the best friend that you'll ever have. And just with David's word that he just brought forth, I want you to have that in your mind this morning. Before I do have something on my heart that God has given me to share this morning, but I have to give you a bit of backstory to that this morning. You know, God, when I knew I was preaching and a few weeks ago, he dropped a phrase into my heart and I shared it with David, and I knew that's what I would be speaking about. But this theme started in my life. It actually probably started quite a while ago, but it started to manifest in my life last week. And you heard that. If you were here and you heard my communion message last week, you heard the theme of my life, which is got nothing without him. And it's continued since Sunday. That theme has continued very strongly in my life since Sunday. And I actually rang David. It's not very often I have to come and see David. We see each other a lot during the week, but I had to come and see him this week on Wednesday, middle of the week, and say, I need you to pray for me for this message on Sunday. Because it's not happening. It's not coming. It's I knew what I needed to speak about. And various people that I've spoken to during the week have said to me, maybe that's exactly what you need to be sharing. So I just want to share a little bit about what's been going on in my life. And hopefully that will encourage you, because it is an encouraging message. You know, I love working in this house. It is the biggest privilege that I have in my life, that I get to be here, and every conversation that I have is about God. Pam will understand where I'm coming from very clearly with this. I'm around godly people all day. I don't go to a work environment where it's hostile. People like me here most of the time. Even when I'm bossy. You know, I don't go to a hostile work environment. I come to a work environment where I get to be in the house of God every day. And that's a privilege that I don't take for granted. I get to, on a Thursday morning, as part of my work, I get to sit around the table with awesome women of God and look into his word and share their lives. And it's an honour. But there comes a time where I found myself, I think it became very clear to me this week when I said to David, we were talking through what was going on, and I said, you know, it's really scary when I hear myself saying when I'm at home, you know what, God, I just need some me time. And I felt like he said to me this week, you need what? You need, what's this me time? And then it hit me. I thought, all the things I do for you, God, I just need some time where there's no, what was I saying? What I was saying, I need some time where there's no God in my life. Is that what I was saying? I don't think I consciously was deliberately doing that. But rather than getting up every morning diligently, reading my Bible, having time with him, I needed some me time. That's a dangerous place to be. And the beauty of that is when you recognize what's going on, God can bring you back from that. He is the best friend that you will ever have. And even when there's times when you haven't been the best friend to him, he's always your best friend. And I guess what I'm saying, I wanted to encourage you that we don't all have it all together all the time. And the things that I found myself preaching to others and sharing to others, I have to live that in my own life. And it's not about how much I do for God. Those things are wonderful. But it's about my one-on-one relationship with him and what that looks like. And then God was so gracious that he actually joined this all together for me. And when I was down on my knees in my office praying, I just said, I was just sitting there after I'd seen David, and I went in there and I turned everything off. There was no noise in my life. And I said, God, I'm going to sit here until you give it to me. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to be quiet because I know you've got something to say, and I'm just going to sit here. And what is it? What is it that you want to say? And then he dropped into my heart, I want you to just tell them to love me. So that's his message for you today. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love him with everything you are. And this is what he said. He said, a life stripped of all pretense. I wrote it down as he said it to me. A life stripped of all pretense. A life stripped of self-ambition. A life stripped of extras is more valuable to the kingdom of God than all the riches of this world. Someone who'll sit there till you get it. A life stripped of all pretense. And then he led me to Matthew 22, and it says there, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it, you will love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. On those two commandments hang everything we believe in. Everything that's in your Bible hangs on those two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And what happens when you strip away everything else, even all the good things that you do for him, all the honoring things, all the righteous things, all the things that you do for him, strip all that away and examine what your relationship with him is like, one-on-one, apart from everything else. Because when that is in order, everything else comes out of it automatically. It just happens. You don't even know you're doing it. You don't even know you're saying things that are impacting people. You don't have to think about it or orchestrate it or build it up. When you've got one thing to do, and that's make sure your relationship, your one-on-one, he is in love with you passionately, jealously, and that's what he wants from us. That's what he wants from me. Okay, the thing that he wanted me to talk to you really about a lot about, apart from all that, it's linked together. This was the thing that he dropped in my heart, and I'm going to share it with you in 5 minutes, and I can do that. Clear the way. I can do it. Who's ever heard of 6 degrees of separation? Have you heard about that? Okay, if you haven't, 6 degrees of separation is a theory that everyone and everything is six or few steps away from each other by way of introduction. So you're 6 steps away from any other person in the world. So that a chain of a friend by way of introduction is a maximum of 6 steps away. Does that make sense? So if there's someone that you don't know, there's actually, if you Google it, there's actually this game called Six Steps of Kevin Bacon? It's like, you know, the actor Kevin Bacon, I don't know if you know him. Anyway, the whole theory is that in 6 steps, by way of a friend of a friend of a friend, you would be able to somehow link yourself to him. That's what 6 degrees of separation is. And where I'm going with that is there is a world to be reached for Christ. Tim's message last week about Thomas and how he... Charlie and I have been watching this thing. It's a documentary thing about Rome and in Roman times and, you know, just the way they lived and everything. And I was thinking about that, Tim, when you were sharing about how they had to walk everywhere and it wasn't. In those days, I looked it up, the world population in 100 AD was 200 million, roughly. Don't quote me. There might have been 201 million, but roughly 200 million. The world population in 2012 was 7.78 billion. Okay. 1 million, I had to write this down. I don't know where I've written it now. I can't find it. Oh, okay. 1 million, because I want you to get the picture of this. Can everyone picture what 1,000 is? Because we find these numbers hard. Can you picture what 1,000 is? Can you picture $1,000? 1,000. Okay, 1 million is 1,000 times that 1,000. You got that? Okay, everyone got that sort of picture? 1 billion, so can you imagine the million? 1,000 times 1,000 is 1 million. 1 billion is 1,000 times that million. Okay? 1 billion is 1,000 times 1 million. So there's 1,000. And then 1 million is 1,000 times that 1,000. And then 1 billion is 1,000 times the million. And there's 7 billion. and you are less than 6 degrees separated from 7 billion. The kingdom of God is at hand. Why I'm telling you all this is, if we love God with that passionate love, there are 7 billion people on this planet that he wants to save and that he wants to experience that love. The fact is, God wants that 7 billion people to be saved, and he's well on his way. And he has this morning strategically placed Peter and Helen in this church, and that should be a reminder to all of us that you've been strategically placed in this church. You might think that you came here of your own free will. You can think that if you like. You've been strategically placed. I've been strategically placed in my family. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be a Thomas and go overseas. We should. We should do that. The Bible tells us to go to Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth. Sometimes I think we need missionaries from over there to come here and speak to us. I just want to leave you with a few things because I've got 1 minute left, and I know I've been a bit all over the place today, because really the message he wants you to hear is love him. Love him and love others. I want you to invest in people. Jesus invested in people. I had a whole lot of young people say, we don't get to choose who God places around us or who he plants us with. And I'm thinking about, you know, I had a whole lot of very interesting young people sitting in our lounge room during the week. And even yesterday I had a conversation with one of them about we were talking about, you know, when you die, what happens. And he thinks that it's just like a light bulb that goes off and then that's the end of that. People are hungry out there, but he said to me that made him feel sick. It made him feel sick to think that. It makes him feel sick to think that because it's not the truth. And people know it's not the truth, but they don't know what the truth is. And they need you to tell them the truth. You need to invest in people, make time for people, be open with people. Not just people in church, people outside church. Invest in their lives, invest your time. Go to their houses. Let them come to your house. Invite people home for a meal. Invest in people. I want to leave you with one simple phrase by my favourite author, Andrew Murray. The love that won us can win many. If he can save you and love you, he can do that for every other person. And I think sometimes we've stopped expecting. God's shown me this week that I've stopped expecting him to do things sometimes. I was looking at that group of young people in my lounge room and listening to their conversation, and I think I've stopped expecting God to do something there, to be honest. When was the last time you expected God to use you to save someone? If you don't ask him... In your notice sheet, I want you to take it home. It says, it's only when deep down among the eternal interest of our soul there flames the passionate desire to lead men to Christ that we shall meet those who need our help and who will welcome it. It all hangs on you loving God. It all comes back to that. It all hangs on you loving God with your whole heart, with everything you are, stripping everything else away, getting on your knees, praying, praising, just talking to him. I was listening to a song on the way to church even, and it's not a church godly song. It says, I just called to say I love you. I just called to say, you know that one? I love you. Just call him sometimes and tell him you love him. Just tell him you love him. That's what he wants. He wants you to love him and everything else. The 7 billion people in this planet that need to know the love of Jesus, that will happen if we would love God with our whole heart and love our neighbor, the ones that are in your house, the ones that are on your street, the ones that are in your neighborhood. If you love them, if we each of us felt like doing a little diagram up there. So just imagine it. You are here And then there's your family around you. And then you reach someone in your family and they reach somebody else. And they reach someone else. And 6 degrees of separation later, 7 billion people know the love of Jesus. It's not that too far of a stretch of our imagination to believe that. God can do that. And that's how he does it. He said, greater things you will do. You know, Thomas had to walk everywhere and go physically everywhere. We live in such a time that the world, even though now compared to 200 million, 7 billion seems huge, I tell you it's a smaller world now than what it was then. It is a small world. And if you will love God with your whole heart and your whole being and love your neighbour as yourself, it will just happen. It's the way it's meant to be. I want to pray with you. Let's stand together. Lord, I thank you this morning that your message to us is simple. You made it simple for us, Lord God, because you've chosen to work through each and every one of us. The kingdom of God is at hand and it is in us. And Jesus, you are the best friend that we will ever have. And Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry, Lord, for the times where I've neglected our relationship. And I don't mean the things I do for you, and you are in my life and we talk and I know that. But when I sit down and I just call to say I love you, when I just sit and look in your face and let you tell me that you love me. Lord, it all hangs on that, and I thank you that you've made it simple. I pray for each and every one of us today, Lord, that there would have been something that we can get hold of out of those few words that I've spoken this morning about loving you with everything that we are, Lord, and taking it seriously. The ones that, not to overlook the ones that are right at our doorstep. And Lord, to start expecting you. I expect you, Lord God, to do something this week in my life, Lord God, as I spend time with you and as I build myself up in the love of you, Lord God, that this week there's going to come someone along my path. There is going to come someone in each of our lives, Lord, that this week we're going to touch for your kingdom. And we are expecting, fully expecting, Lord God, to see souls won for your kingdom, Lord God. That is what we are all about. Remind us, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with each and every one of us, that this is something that you enable and empower us to do. And we give you praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.